As we head into convention season, many of us are going to be walking into rooms, big rooms, where we may not know anyone, because I know that many times I'm going to these events by myself. Now, I might be meeting up with people that I met online or some of my industry friends, but we may not all do the same things all at the same time, and they might want to see one thing and I want to see something else, so we split up. So that means I'm out on my own and I'm walking the halls by myself and I'm going into these rooms by myself. Now, I will say, when it comes to these types of things, I am a little bit more brave when it comes to walking into a room by myself. But what I thought I would do is I thought I would take this episode and give you some tips and tricks of things that I have learned when I'm in this situation that hopefully will help you too, so that you can maybe not master the art of working a room, but give you some confidence in the fact that you can do this. So let's go ahead and get started on today's episode of the Focal Points Podcast, brought to you by Enphoto. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dory Howell. This is the place to be to learn how to build a photography business that you love. All right, you got your tickets, you got everything, you've printed out your badge, you're ready to head into your first networking event, whether that's at a convention or maybe it's just in your hometown, but you're scared to death. Ever have that feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't know anybody in here. Everyone's going to stare at me. No one's going to talk to me. All these things. Now, first of all, I just want to let you know that walking into a room by yourself when you don't know anyone, or maybe you just casually know a few people, for the sole purpose of either learning about them or promoting your business is not easy. No one thinks this is easy, right? This is not something that we are born knowing how to do. And most people, I can dare to say, are not comfortable doing it the first few hundred times they do it, right? It always comes with a little bit of anxiety. So we acknowledge that. We know that it's going to be difficult. We know that all the emotions are going to come up. But here's the thing, being able to do this is a skill. Just like working your camera. When you picked up your camera, you did not know how to work it. You didn't know how the exposure triangle worked with an aperture, shutter speed, ISO, right? You had to learn how to do this. You had to play around. You had to see what worked. You had to see what didn't. You probably took a lot of really, really bad pictures until you learned how to master your equipment. And I'm going to guess that networking is going to be very similar for you. Right? Most of us aren't born knowing how to walk into a room and talk to someone and form a relationship out of nothing. It's just not a thing. But we can learn how to do this fairly easily. And if you go into it knowing that it's going to be difficult, knowing that you're going to have a lot of feelings and emotions and you're going to feel super, super awkward, then guess what? You're one step ahead of it, right? So I get it because that was me too. I remember walking into my first networking meeting where I didn't know a soul. I had so many butterflies in my stomach. My palms were sweaty. And I was just so incredibly nervous. And listen, I had done all the prep that all the pros tell me to do. I had my elevator speech ready to go. I brought my sample album. I was ready with a smile and all of that. But I was still very, very nervous. And the fact is, many times that we are nervous and all these emotions come up when we haven't done anything before because we have no prior history of experience with it. That's where those emotions come from. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, that that is our brain trying to keep us safe. They're like, wait a minute, well, we don't know what's going to happen here. So I'm going to send you all these emotions and maybe you'll stop. But we also know that our brain is a liar and we need to keep pushing through. So what happened when I got to this networking event, it was so different than what I had imagined. It was a general networking event sponsored by an organization here locally, and it was all different kinds of businesses, right? And there were about 40 people there, and they were all in some sort of professional industry, lawyers, banking, maybe some construction executives, property developers, things like that. There were a lot of different people in the room and they weren't necessarily complementary industries, but every single person in that room, here's the advantage of what we do. Every single person in that room could use what we do. Everyone needs us at one point in time. And the catch is for most people and most of our clients is that they may not know at the time that they need us. So it's our job to maybe inspire some of those thoughts in them when we are at these events. So at this meeting, like most others, we started with you know, kind of a general open networking time. And this allows everyone to kind of have time to gather, pick a seat, get some coffee or order your lunch. You can greet people that you may know. You may introduce yourself to a few people that you don't know. And this is the most nerve-wracking time of the entire meeting. I swear, if you go into these things, if you get past the first 10 minutes, everything else will be fine. Promise. Really, I promise this, okay? So stick with it. You can't use the excuse that you need to leave early because the meeting hasn't even started yet. And if you arrive late, you're going to miss the most impactful time together. So you want to be there on time. And this is an advantage that I have found when I've gone to an event that I've never been to before. And that is get there on time, if not a few minutes early. Now, usually this time is limited to about 10, 15 minutes. So if you're there too late, you're going to miss it. Like I said earlier, this really is the most impactful time of the event. But being there on time is especially helpful for those who might be a little bit more intimidated. And you're like, Dory, if I get there early, that means I'm just there for that horrible open networking time even longer. But hear me out. When you get there on time, you'll have a chance to interact with a smaller, more intimate group of people because most people don't get there on time. Most people are going to be a few minutes late. So if you get there early and you're there with the early birds, then you have time to do all the things, get your coffee, choose your seat, all that type of thing, and talk to people. And as people come in, you've already gotten a head start on the whole reason you were there to begin with. And usually the people who are there first are the organizers, or what I call like the setup crew, right? They're getting everything ready. And they're the people who have believe in this group enough to volunteer their time and help make things great for people like you who are their guests. That is the job of the people who are there organizing. So they're the people who are most plugged into the group. They're the ones who can help you navigate the room and even suggest people that you should connect with. And that is already, if you don't know who they are already because you haven't stalked them on LinkedIn yet, which I highly recommend. So you need to get there a few minutes early, introduce yourself. So get there on time. So my second tip on how to walk into these rooms is to act confident even when you aren't. This is a perfectly, perfectly great, great scenario where you can fake it until you make it. Now, remember we said earlier that walking into these rooms isn't easy. And you have two choices. You can either hide behind the plant in the corner on your phone, hoping that the time passes quickly. Or you can put that smile on, put your shoulders back, and walk into the room confidently and introduce yourself to the first person that you see. You have these two choices every time you walk into a room. And I'm assuming that you're taking time out of your busy studio schedule to go to these events, so you know which side I lean on when it comes to how you should walk into a room. Now, have you ever seen those commercials of, you know, the ASPCA commercials where they're showing all the really sad dogs and they want donations and you just want to pick all those puppies up and take them home because you feel so bad for them, right? And most of us, I think, feel those things when we see those commercials. But here's the thing. If you go to a shelter or something like that, you walk down the aisle of the dogs that are available for adoption, you're primarily going to see two kinds. Ones that are so scared to be there that they just hang out in the corner hoping that someone will take pity on them and come pet them and take care of them. Or two, the ones that come right up to the gate, jumping, wagging their tail and smiling at you, saying, pet me, pet me, pet me. Now, this is very much of the human behavior that I see in networking events, these two extremes, right? And it doesn't make sense to me because we're all there to gain more business. But if you're not going to go out of your way and act like you want people to come to get to know you, you're not going to get as much bang for your buck for your time or even your networking dollars, because sometimes these events do cost money. So you need to look approachable. So you need to bring some energy to the table, right? And I know this is a place that can be a real struggle for some, and it's super easy for others. You need to walk into the room with some energy, a little pep in your step. You want people to want to get to know you. You want to greet people openly with a nice handshake or even a hug, depending on who you're meeting and what their, you know, physical boundaries are. You might get a hug or two, and that's fine too. I'm fine with that. But here's the thing. You know, we have that dog scenario, and we also have the Tigger, and what I call the Tigger and Eeyore scenario. So would you rather hang out with Tigger, who is bouncy, trouncy, ouncy, pouncy, and fun, 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 fun? Or would you rather hang out with Eeyore when you say good morning? He says, well, I guess it is for some. Or they might say, yeah, thanks for noticing me. Even if you feel like Eeyore, which many of us do many, many times, you need to be a little bit more Tigger for these events, right? So the next tip I have is stalk participants before you go. Bring the energy, work the room, fake it till you make it, all those great things. But many times on these events, you can see the guest list before you even arrive, and that gives you time to look them up on LinkedIn, look them up on social media, see if you have anything in common. It also lets you know who you really want to spend time talking to in that room versus spending your time talking to people that may not be there to help your business, because that is why we are there. It sounds a little bit harsh, but when I go to a networking event, I usually don't want to talk to everybody. I want to talk to specific people. By getting to know the guest list before I go, it allows me to do this. Now, with certain privacy rules and that type of thing, this isn't always going to be possible, but if it is possible, absolutely do it. My next tip is bring three no-fail conversation starters that are not political in any way or religious in any way. And they can be super, super easy. If you live in an area where there's a lot of traffic, you can ask, hey, traffic, if you how was the traffic coming in today? Or if you like to travel, you can say, hey, have you taken any great vacations lately? And if they say something, they should respond back with something, right? And then you can start a conversation that way. And here's the thing, people, it's just small talk. So say someone goes to Hawaii, and you've been to Hawaii 5 times. That's not your cue to launch into all the great things that they should do or they should have done when they were in Hawaii. This is your cue to get to know them better. So instead of saying, oh yeah, I've been to Hawaii 5 times. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? You want to lead with more questions, and you can say, oh, you went to Hawaii. That is wonderful. I love visiting there. What are some of your favorite things to do when you are on the Big Island? Or did you visit the Big Island? Or what are some of the excursions you take? Or do you like to go snorkeling? All of these different things are about learning about them. And this is what I have found in almost any social situation that I've been a part of for the past 10 years. People value people who show an interest in them, but very few people will show an interest in you. And that's true. I can go to even family events, and I know that I've had some great conversations with people, but when I leave, I realize they did not ask me one thing about what's going on in my life right now. They didn't. So people are so, so concerned about themselves that if you show interest in them, they are going to automatically be drawn to you. And that is what you want. So bring your no-fail conversation starters. This next thing is something that I think women do very naturally, and I think some men struggle with, but I do know that this is something that not a lot of people do naturally or easily, and it's just smile. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, you know I have a big smile on my face. Just smile. Smile at people. Greet them. Greet them with a nice open smile, with open body language. Now, I feel that a smile is everyone's biggest strength. It doesn't matter if your teeth are perfect or all those types of things, but you need to be able to smile. And culturally in America, smiling, that's kind of how we stick out. I know I stick out when I travel internationally because I just smile at everyone. I can't help it. So culturally, there may be some differences here if you're listening into this in a different country. But here's the key, especially for US culture and society norms, a smile goes a very, very long way. Now, let me tell you, if you don't like your smile, if you have the means, get it fixed. I have had braces 3 times. I had them when I was a teenager. I had them when I was in my 20s. And I just got my smile fixed again about 3 years ago. I had a gap in my teeth that I hated. Now, it didn't mean I didn't smile, but I just really, really wanted that fixed. I wanted that gap fixed. So see on YouTube, here's my smile. And I did mine several different ways. I did the orthodontist the first 2 times. And the third time I went to Smile Direct. And if you want a referral code, you can send me a DM. I can give you that. I don't think I get anything for it, but you might get a discount. But I got my smile fixed. So the thing is, if you don't like your smile, if the reason that you're not smiling at people is because you don't like your teeth, there are ways to get those fixed, and it doesn't have to cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So for example, when I got my smile fixed with Smile Direct, I think it cost $2,000, But when I went to an orthodontist or did other means, it was going to cost much, much more than that. So be careful with your teeth, but there's ways to fix your smile. And that's what I did for my teeth. I have a very successful friend who's a realtor, and on all her social media, on all her videos, on everything that she doesn't show her teeth. And I know she doesn't show her teeth. It's because she doesn't like her teeth. And it just looks a little bit strange when you're trying when you're trying to welcome people in and you don't show your smile. I think a smile can knock down so many different barriers. It can put people at ease. It can make people feel comfortable. So always, always smile. And this goes for guys too, because men don't smile, or most men don't smile as easily as women do. And I did an experiment at a speaking event once, and we asked everyone to turn to each other and smile. And then we said, okay, men, now you really need to smile. And everyone just kind of chuckled in the room because they knew that this wasn't something that was easy or natural for men to do. If you're not a natural smiler, practice. Trust me, a smile can do wonders for your business. One thing that I will not do with my clients is give them just a stack of images for them to store someplace randomly. I always provide with them some sort of storage box, and I love the options from Enphoto. The Folio Box is an ideal presentation and storage product. It's a handcrafted box, and you can pair it with a selection of prints that are either mounted or matted, and it has also a beautiful frame for a truly beautiful experience. You can also include the USB for their digital files, or you don't have to include that. It's purely customizable. It comes in a wide variety of colors, shapes, and sizes, and you definitely want to consider adding this to your product line today. And the best thing about it is that Enphoto offers you 75% off your first sample if you're a new customer. So head over to our show notes page to grab that discount today. All right, speaking of sample albums, I always bring a sample album to these networking events. And some people ask, well, Dori, do you bring a full session or do you bring a compilation album? I bring a compilation album of images because I want them to see different scenarios, different faces, different skin colors, different styling. And I want them to see kind of an overview of things. So taking advantage of the Enphoto sample promotion that they're doing that you can get on our show notes page is super, super important. Bring that sample album. I usually bring a 10 by 10, 20 page, thick page album. I want people to be drawn to it. I want people to stand around and look at these images and ask me questions. Don't get the thin page book. Don't do it on your phone or on your digital device like an iPad. Get a physical album. This is especially important for portrait photographers who are selling physical items. You want people to feel this in their hands. And yes, I know I always say this, you want them to smell it, but you want them to be able to smell it and feel it and see how substantial it is and how beautiful it is. And this is a chance for you to do that at a very first meeting. And they'll be like, oh, that's going to set her apart. So bring your sample album. The next thing that I want you to remember, or actually, forget at home, this is something you don't have to remember, is forget your business cards. I can count on one hand how many business cards I've passed out in the past 5 years. Business cards are not necessarily a thing so much anymore. And the reason why I don't bring business cards is because I like to control the narrative of the follow-up. Networking events are great, but the follow-up is key. And maybe in a future episode, I'll talk about how I follow up from networking events. But this is kind of, you know, a control issue. I don't need everyone to have my information and want to schedule lunches with me and coffees with me if they're a business that I don't feel like, one, I could necessarily help, or two, they're not looking for photography in my specific genre. Okay. So the emailing back and forth is nice, but I always encourage people to connect with me on Instagram or on LinkedIn, and they can follow me and they can reach me that way. But I take people's business cards. And the reason why I take their cards is that I like to jot notes on their cards of things we discussed, things I might want to send them, resources I might have for them, all those different types of things I can write there on the card. And that way I can do that when I get home. So I don't bring business cards. And it's actually another little talking point, like, oh my gosh, I ran out of cards. I don't believe that, but let me take yours and everything. It's kind of a thing that I do in these meetings, but I don't worry about my own business cards. So when you follow up, you want to send them a quick email, that type of thing. The follow-up is key. We'll get into that in another episode. So like I said, you want to bring your sample album. All right. Now, this is the key. Networking events in most situations and the people that you meet at networking events are there for the long haul. They understand that just because you show up once, you're not going to get a deluge of clients into your studio. This is something that you need to go more than one time. You need to establish yourself as someone who is reliable. They need to learn to like you and they need to learn to trust you. So if you're going to invest in going to networking events, whether through your chamber of commerce or other types of things, you need to know that you're going to have to commit to doing that more than one time. It will be well worth your time, but it is sort of a long game. So be ready for that when you go. Now, when you're talking about conventions and that type of thing, you're meeting people to collaborate with in your business, but aren't looking necessarily to hire you. It's two different focuses. But for the local events that you go to, this is a long game. It's not going to work if you're just going to go once. So if that is your idea, oh, let me just go check this out. I'm going to go one time and see what it's like. Quite honestly, I wouldn't waste my time. But if you're ready to say, okay, I'm going to commit to going to this event for 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, I'm going to join this organization for a year, it can very much be worth your time. So have fun when you walk into that room. Don't take it so seriously. Understand that it's awkward for everybody the first few times that you do it. Smile, welcome everyone. Bring your sample album so you have something to show and something to talk about. Bring your questions and you will really, really learn to rock the networking game. Have fun and we will see you next time on the Focal Points Podcast brought to you by Enphoto. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we will see you next time.